The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
James Kavanagh is with me, the Irish social media influencer, fellow Kilkenny man, I think I can describe him as now. James, it's good to talk to you. You've been kind of on something of a campaign recently to highlight the ways in which we lack affection and we do not cherish our built heritage. Is that fair?
Yeah, I feel like I spend most of my time, you know, walking around Dublin City kind of groaning at how ugly the city is becoming. I'm a big fan of our kind of Georgian heritage, you know, the Georgian type buildings we have around the city. But I also love new buildings. I love modern buildings. I love a bit of brutalism. So I'm not kind of fuddy-duddy in that sense. Like, I think the ESB build at new headquarters near Fitzwilliam Place, that's quite gorgeous. And they've kind of went and kind of molded into their surroundings. I feel like a lot of the new builds, like offices and stuff, they don't look at what they're around and they don't try and melt in or complement the surrounding buildings. Everything looks cheap and nasty. And I just feel like there's no, I guess, as you said, affection or you know, love put on onto the stuff that would be on the postcards to promote Dublin. Like, you only have to look at the Ivy Markets or the Smithfield Flower Market or even the Bagot Street Hospital, which is sitting there rotting at the moment. Like, we're not doing enough to preserve that, I don't think.
That's a nice way of putting it. There's nothing you can imagine that's being built now ending up in a postcard, effectively.
No, not at all. If you look at all the postcards around kind of Grafton Street that are for sale. For example, there's a lot of them with the Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, which I know is a building, I think, from the 70s. But that's on the postcards. What's being proposed now for the Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, that's not going to get on a postcard. Like, we love putting the Georgian doors on postcards to visit Dublin. We love a thatched cottage. But in the day-to-day running of the place, we don't protect them. So these things that are enticing people to come and visit Ireland or see Dublin, they're arriving, and there's all these nasty Ming and new buildings that are not going to age well at all.
Roisin Murphy is with us as well, the architect and broadcaster.
Hi.
Hi, Roisin.
Hi. Well, I would agree with James on mainly all of those things, apart from the fact that we had a big pitch to try and save some of the brutalism in Dublin that was met about 7 years ago with a lot of disdain. They were like, brutalism? Like, I think I was one of the few people who protested against the demolition of Ballymun Towers, for instance. Thought we should keep one because it's an iconic part of the history of Irish structure. And we have a slight chink in our appreciation for modern architecture, where we have the Poolbeg chimneys, or the Pigeon House has now become a very iconic part of the Dublin identity. But that said, we are still, I mean, I think I did my first sit-in when I was 17 or 18 as a kid in first year architecture. I won't say, it was a long time ago. And we are still looking at modern or older architecture being neglected, falling down in some of the cities. Cork, we've had a few collapses. And it's very, very difficult. It's difficult to sustain your passion for activism about our appreciation for the built heritage of Ireland when you're still hard at it, like going, you know, trying to argue constantly for the measured protection of not just buildings, of actually activities in the city, from stables to the milk parlours to the vegetable market to also what we had of 20 years of a lockup in the Ivy Markets. And it was through citizen campaigning, really, that we managed to get the keys back of that. But that's not before Lord Ivy had to come over. So we do have a very perilous relationship with protecting built heritage.
Well, I want to talk about some of those things about amenities in city centres where we want people to live in just a moment. But in terms of that built heritage, because a lot of these buildings you talk about that might be collapsing in on themselves. Yeah. I mean, the land they are on is valuable. People want it. It will get developed. Is the stumbling block just the sunken costs of buying an older building and having to kind of maintain that facade or whatever? Like, why are they collapsing in on themselves when new stuff has been built around them?
I think we have had a very poor history of development in some of the cities for the last 10 years in terms of urbanism. There was a lot of outcry from the Institute about it, where we were over investing in kind of bringing in all of the multinationals in at the cost of some of the, I suppose, slow planning. So a lot of a lot of student housing, you know, places demolished so they could build these very intense planning permissions, more modern. And also these kind of arguments constantly about student housing, about housing and the housing crisis, saying, you know, forget built heritage, let's build housing. But in actual fact, the model that's being used in the inner city is a particularly expensive model of building. So now these big tranches of sites that are left vacant are suddenly more valuable with the buildings on them than they were, say, 10 years ago. So, you know, heritage suddenly has a value again. Mm. So people are going, it's really expensive to build. So people are going, they're keeping some of the heritage, going, you know, in for more and more planning. We've had huge problems with people coming in, developers who shall remain nameless, trying to overthrow controls on heights. So we've a lot of argument and tensions in the developments of the city that are kind of halting development and leaving tranches of the city sometimes in vacancy for 20 years.
The point that James makes as well about newer buildings not really having any rhyme or reason in terms of what's around them. This is kind of a bugbear. I've mentioned it before and I was talking to you about it during the ad break. I come in through the Liberties and there's huge development all on there. And it's all kind of piecemeal. It's kind of one by one. It's not. I never get the sense that somebody sat down and said, what should this street look like from the Coombe to Patrick's Cathedral? Kind of as a single street. Rather, everything is looked at and what should go onto this spot of land?
Well, but...
And then just end up with loads of apartment blocks.
Well, I think buildings are like books. You don't want the same one all over the place. Like you got, you know, the Georgian heritage was speculative building. It was very uniform and bland at the time. And now we look back at it fondly. But I kind of disagree a bit about that because I do think that there's been a huge investment in the aesthetic of buildings, actually. The problem for me is the economic fabric of buildings and cities is at fault. So we're getting really well-designed, sometimes very elegant solutions, but they are too expensive. They are these hugely overpriced apartments, mountains of commercial space that is no longer rentable because everything since COVID has changed and the adaptability of those buildings is different. But for me, I used to be, like, I'm an architect. I loved architecture. I've always had one foot in the conservation, but I don't really care anymore about, you know, the nuts and bolts of what a building looks like. I care about the size of it in relation to a street and its economic aesthetic, as in, is it really expensive to build?
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost to rent? Is it going to cause the cost of land to shoot up suddenly? If a really expensive building on a street, it makes the land more expensive.
James, as somebody like who was living kind of fairly close to the city centre for Dublin for a long time, I know, and Roisin, I'll come back to you on this point because I know it's something you feel strongly about as well. It's not just about the buildings. It's about all the public amenities. It's about kind of pools and parks and civic spaces and what have you. Is that something that Dublin lacks, James?
I lived in Phibsborough for 11 years. So I was lucky enough to be beside the Phoenix Park and then we have Blessington Basement and all that sort of stuff. But I did walk around, you know, into town every now and then. And I just noticed so many buildings crumbling around there. So I often wonder, like, why isn't there, and maybe Roisin can illuminate me on this, but why isn't there kind of an onus put back on the property owners to make sure the faces of their buildings look good? Because essentially that's like, I don't know, Dublin's calling card or, you know, they're very central buildings. And I maybe I'm wrong here, but often, you know, landlords tend to be quite wealthy people. Why isn't the onus put back on them to make sure their buildings are presentable, the granite's not sloping to, you know, a 90 degree angle or something like that? I just don't understand why a lot of this isn't kind of fixable.
That's a good question, Roisin.
It is really cuts to the heart of the problem of conservation in Ireland, where we have, it's very difficult to get enforcement on this. It's been difficult for 40 years. It's still difficult. We don't have enough conservation officers in Dublin City Council. But also we have an economic policy, and this is where it gets really complicated and dark. We have an economic policy that, say, for instance, not mentioning anything, but the ban on evictions. Okay, it sounds like nothing, but if you have people living in bedsits all over the North Inner City and they're not allowed to be evicted, they have, let's be honest, they're usually poorer people, so they sit in and make a street exciting. They are the people who are shopping. They're the people who are going to the markets. They're the people who are buying chilies or whatever it is. And James will know that from Phibsborough. A diverse community brings life onto the street because it's affordable housing. But the problem is, A lot of these areas are now very valuable. So people, they get rid of the tenants, then they sit on the property, develop the properties, and you have large sections of streets lying idle. So then it increases dereliction, and it kind, you know, you don't walk on the street anymore. It feels a little bit unsafe. So these are all a matrix. It's not just, as you said earlier, which is such an important point, is the actual lifeblood of a city is more than its buildings. It is actually its parks, its recreation for its people, and also a matrix of people.
Yeah.
So like the development that really kicked this off is the one in Limerick, but it has really expensive housing in it. It has super apartments and the same ones down in the Docklands.
Yeah.
But that pushes the price of coffee up. It changes how a city works. And in cities like Berlin, where they have a lot, they've now been around the world, they're putting back in, they're sewing in structural protection for shops and for what we would argue is people who will deliver milk, do your hair, serve, you know, waiters, hairdressers. They need to be accommodated within the heart of a city to keep it vibrant and active. And that is something that has to be addressed and hasn't really been addressed in all of the housing solutions that have come forward, which the government have tried. We're still missing some of the economics.
Roisin Murphy, architect and broadcaster. James Kavanagh, Irish social media influencer. You're both very, very, welcome. I keep saying, I said that earlier in the week as well to somebody. Getting confused. It must be that drug test I did earlier with the guard. Anyway, thank you both very much for joining me here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.